Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Kapi Jana Balabha Iribarada Hari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Ah Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vishnupadaya Paramhamsa Parivragacharya Ashrita Rashtada Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnupadaya Paramhamsa Parivragacharya Ashrita Rashtada Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace, Bhaktivedanta Sarasvati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Antakodi Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Srimad Bhaktam Grantaraj Ki Jai. All goes to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, entitled Lord Krishna Shows the Universal Form, verse 16. Esha Vakshraya Adyasyad Gopa Gokula Nandanaha Anana Sarva Durgani jau magės tarišėtam. Eša vakšėja adėšėd. Gopaga kūrānandanaha. Anena sarva durgani. Yuyam anjas tarishyatam. One more time. Esha vakshaya adhyasad. Gopaga kūrānandanaha. Anena sarva durgani. Yuyam anjas tarishyatam. Esha vakshaya adhyasad. Gopaga kūrānandanaha. Anena sarva durgani. Yam manjas tari shata. Yesha vakshaya adasyad. Gopaga kūrānandanaha. Ena sarva durgani. Yam magyas tarishadha. Isha vakshaya adasyad. Gopaga kūrānandanaha. Ena sarva durgani. Yam magyas tarishadha. Anyone else? Okay. Read the word by word transliteration. Eshaha. This child. Vaha. For all of you people. Shreyaha, the most auspicious. Hadasyat, we will act all auspiciously. Gopa Gokula Nandanaha, just like a cowherd boy. Born in a family of cowherd men, as the son of the estate of Gokula. Anena, by him, Sarva Durgani, all kinds of miserable conditions. Yuyam, all of you. Anjaha, easily. Tarishyata, will overcome. Translation. To increase the transcendental bliss of the cowherd man of Gokula, this child will always act auspiciously for you, and by his grace only, you will surpass all difficulties. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. For the cowherd man and the cows, Krishna is the supreme friend. Therefore, he is worshipped by the prayer Namo Brahmanya Devyaya Gobrahmana Hitaya Cha. His pastimes in Gokula, his dharma, are always favorable to the brahmanas and the cows. His first business is to give all comfort to the cows and the brahmanas. In fact, comfort for the brahmanas is secondary, comfort for the cows is his first concern. Because of his presence, all people overcome all difficulties and always be situated in transcendental bliss. Om Agyanat Yanandasya Agyananja Chaitaya Chakshu Nitam Gyanat Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manabhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dati Svabhadantikam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pushtaya Kutaya Shrimati Chandra Vachavan Bhakti Vedanta Swami Chinami Namaste Sarasvati Devi Guru Shri 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 Pancha kalpata drubhyascha kripa sindhu kata kacha pati janam pavanaya bhiro vashna vebhi namo namo. Thank you very much for letting me speak today again and allowing me to try to fulfill my spiritual master's instructions to give some lectures on a regular basis. I really appreciate it. And once again, I apologize for my shortcomings in the presentation. When I was reading this verse yesterday, I really appreciated the second part about Krishna's divine grace and how it works in our favor. It also brought to memory a similar verse in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 58. Which I would like to read as well. It carries some of the same meaning, especially also in the Srila Prabhupada's purport. So I would like to read it here first in Sanskrit and then a short verse and then quick purport. Machita sarva durgani mat pashada tarishyasi adha chetvam ahankaran Nasrosyasi Vinakshyasi. Translation: if you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing from me, you will be lost. And this is a nice purport, which, in addition to the purport, to the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, it gives us some practical instructions that may help us align more properly with Krishna's grace. Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport to this verse that a person in full Krishna consciousness is not unduly anxious about executing the duties of his existence. The foolish cannot understand this great freedom from all anxiety. For one who acts in Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna becomes the most intimate friend. He always looks after his friend's comfort and he gives himself to his friend who is so devotedly engaged working 24 hours a day to please the Lord. Therefore, no one should be carried away by the false ego of the bodily concept of life. One should not falsely think himself independent of the laws of material nature or free to act. He is already under strict material laws. But as soon as he acts in Krishna consciousness, he is liberated, free from the material perplexities. Excuse me. One should note very carefully that one who is not active in Krishna consciousness is losing himself in the material whirlpool, in the ocean of birth and death. No conditioned soul actually knows what is to be done and what is not to be done. But a person who acts in Krishna consciousness is free to act because everything is prompted by Krishna from within and confirmed by the spiritual master. So this is a very nice purport as well and gives us some practical ideas about how to align ourselves more with the Lord's grace. Sometimes I ask myself this question, especially in the past, in my life, where is the Lord's grace? And because I do not feel it, and and things are not really working out in according to my plan. And I'm not anywhere close to being blissful, and I don't perceive the mercy, and I think I'm doing I have a good plan, but it's not working out. So where's the Lord's grace? And I ask myself this question many times in different chapters of my life. So in this class, I'd like to point out some of the keys that I think are helpful in accessing the Lord's grace, or put in another way, how to adjust our position, how to adjust our consciousness to perceive the Lord's grace more properly. Srila Prabhupada, the verse in Bhagavad Gita, which is very similar in essence to the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord asks us to, gives us an idea that to access His mercy, His grace, we have to be conscious of Him in daily life. And then it is possible to surrender properly when you're conscious of Krishna. The less conscious we are of Krishna, the more conscious we will be of our false ego. Or we'll be acting under according to our false ego. And the less conscious we are of Krishna, the harder it is going to be to surrender, because we'll be acting according to our false ego. I'd like to focus on two points that will help us position ourselves better, or adjust our consciousness better, so we can access or appreciate that mercy that comes from the Lord in Parampara. The first one is chanting all of our rounds, or most of them, in the morning before we go to work or do other duties. And then the second point that I will elaborate on is the idea of surrender, surrendering ourselves to the Lord and the spiritual master's instructions. The surrender consists of six different parts or aspects, and I will elaborate on it later. First, I would like to go into the chanting all the rounds in the morning, which sharpens our spiritual sense. In other words, we will be able to be conscious of Krishna more throughout the day, and therefore we make better decisions in serving others and fulfilling our material duties. So chanting rounds in the morning and before we go to work. Over the years, I've been struggling with chanting all my 16 rounds in the morning. And sometimes I am successful, sometimes I'm not. I'm doing a little bit better now since I got initiated, chanting in the morning and finishing everything by the time I go to work. But for me, the dilemma was fulfilling material duties versus fulfilling my spiritual duties, which is chanting and following the principles, going to the temple, and balancing the external duties of going to work, taking care of the house and things like that. So the dilemma is there, and the struggle is there. But whenever I made an effort to complete my rounds in the morning, it seemed like Krishna was helping me even in fulfilling my material obligations. In this connection, I would like to tell a quick story about a ninja fireman that happened quite a few years ago. And at that time, that point in my life, I was a personal trainer at this community gym. It was many years ago. And just to give you a little background on how a community gym operates, it's there's everything you want to do for training. You have machines and swimming pools there, and a basketball gym is there, and elliptical machines, cardio machines, everything is there, so people from all walks of life can come in and get a good workout. So the gym is run by a manager and a sales team. They encourage people, they show the gym, and they try to make them become members. And then the other side of the team is the trainers. And I was one of the trainers there. I was a new trainer at that time. I didn't have much experience. And also, I was in the beginning stages of my, I still am in many ways, but I was just learning about Krishna consciousness, you know, a few years before, and then I was trying to practice chanting in the morning, and I just got this new job after college, out of college, I just got this new job at this gym, and I was trying to make my best. I told my manager, please keep me busy, you know, I'm really serious about this job, and I will do my best, keep me busy, I can work any day, any time, you know, 5 a.m., 4 a.m., 9 p.m., 10 p.m., just keep me busy. And I also had my new place, so I was just wanting to make sure I have the money to pay for my rent. So the manager remembered that, and one fine day, I was training a client, and the manager runs up to me in the middle of my sessions with this client, and he tells me, "Listen, Art, listen, I have this gentleman over here. He wants to become a firefighter, and he wants us to put him to a great workout. The only condition is that he wants us to train him at 4 a.m. in the morning. And I don't know anyone who can train this early in the morning except for you. I know you get up early for meditation. You're up at 3 or 4 a.m. Why don't you come to the gym at that time and train this gentleman twice a week, Tuesday and Thursday?" So in a way, I was put on the spot. I was like, I was training these clients. I was trying to be nice to my manager. I know I told him a few months back, "Keep me busy. I will do anything for you to work those hours." So in that situation, I said, "Yes, no problem. I'll train him at 4 a.m. So manager was very happy, because it's called in business point of sale. You know, the client makes his, or the few potential client member makes his wish. You know, I want a trainer at this time for this. I want to lose weight. I want to do this. And the manager says, "Yes, we have a great trainer for you. We will write you a great training program." And if the manager says yes to all of the clients, the potential clients' requests, there is a good chance there will be a sale. So the manager was very happy. I said yes. He went back to the fire, the wannabe fireman, and he said, "Yes, I will train you at 4 a.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Just give me your credit card, and we're going to run your payment, and you'll be all set up with your training." So that happened, and next week, I was supposed to see this wannabe firefighter and give him a good workout, and I was supposed to create a nutritional plan for him, I think, and a workout plan that he can lose weight, get strong, and be ready to take on a new job as a firefighter. The situation was like that. So at the same time, I realized that it's going to be hard for me to finish chanting 16 rounds before I go to work. And this gentleman was supposed to be training for like 2 months at 4 a.m. twice a week. So 2 days out of 7 days, I would not be able to chant. I would have to get up like at 2 a.m. or 1 a.m. and chant my rounds and then go to work. It was a difficult situation for me, because I really wanted to chant the rounds in the morning. And it so happened that I was busy throughout the week, and I was not able to create that workout plan for him, or a nutritional plan. And it was Monday night, I was tired, and I just started on the workout plan for this wannabe firefighter, but I couldn't complete it. I fell asleep, and I knew that I had to get up at 1 or 2 a.m. to finish my rounds. So I got up at 2 a.m. or so, and I knew I either chained my rounds kind of quickly or chained half of my rounds. And I tried to work on his workout plan and nutritional plan. So I decided in the beginning to chant all my rounds, and I started chanting and chanting. But then I had some other thoughts came to my mind, and I was worrying about losing my job or not servicing that client fully. And I was like, oh my gosh, what should I do? I really want to help this guy out. I want to have everything ready for him so my manager's not disappointed. But here I told my devotee friends, and I promised Krishna I'm going to chant my rounds in the morning. And I already finished 7-8 rounds. I'm halfway there, and it takes me 30 minutes to create a workout plan and another 30 minutes to do a diet plan, what to do. But I chanted one or two more rounds, and I decided to try to satisfy both sides. So I started to work on that plan, but somehow my mind didn't work properly. I was worrying about not finishing the rounds, and it went slow. So I ended up, it's 3:35, 3:40, and I'm gonna see this guy in 20 minutes to give him the best workout of his life. But somehow or other, I couldn't finish his workout. I started and I did something and started on the diet. I couldn't finish anything. I printed out what I had, and I just says, you know what, I didn't finish my chanting, I didn't finish the plan, I'm in a difficult situation. So anyway, I jumped in the car and started driving to work. I got there, you know, maybe 5 minutes before his scheduled appointment, and quickly changed my clothes and got the workout ready and the diet plan, which was not completed. I was a little bit nervous. First impressions count, and I was nervous that maybe he won't like me or something. He wants his money back, and the manager will be upset with me. And then I thought, you know what, I still have to finish 6 more rounds. So my mind was upset. So I entered the gym, and I see that the receptionist is sleeping because the gym was 24 hours open. So we had, you know, someone on duty. I come in, it's empty. There's one person there on the elliptical machine, cardio machine. Receptionist is sleeping, and I ask the receptionist, hey, wake up, wake up. I'm supposed to have a client at 4 a.m. Have you seen them? Oh, no, not yet. And she's like, oh, okay, don't wake me up. And then so I was nervous, you know, I looked around, and it was 4 o'clock, 4 or 5. The gentleman is not there, and interesting, you know, I sent him a message, a reminder message. I'm going to see you tomorrow at 4 a.m. If for some reason you cannot make it, please let me know, because I'll be there for you. So he didn't reply, but he didn't say he's not coming. So I was there, and 5 minutes after, 10 minutes after, and I don't see him. I texted a message to him, where are you? I'm waiting for you. Nothing. So I started chanting my rounds, and ended up finishing the rounds, 5 more rounds, I believe, or 6 more rounds. And then I told my manager that I was there, so I got paid for that hour. I got compensated, and I also finished my rounds. So in this way, it's a little way that kind of showed me that Krishna takes care of those little things. You know, if you have a sentiment for completing your rounds in the morning, and you also want to do a good job and other duties, Krishna will help in some ways and make it easier for you to follow through with your chanting. And so I was able to finish all my 16 rounds by 5 a.m. no problem, and then I had a little break, and I think I have another client at 7 a.m., so it worked out. And it ended up that this gentleman never showed up. We lost contact with him, and just took his money. He didn't want the refund. He just paid us the money for the training, and he was gone. And I guess everyone was happy. I don't know if the wannabe fireman, he was happy, but we took his money, and we lost contact with him. So that was the end of the story. But Sometimes what I learned is that if you want to chant and finish the chanting in the morning, on many occasions, not many occasions, but quite a few occasions, I was not able to fulfill my material duties, but I really kept a strong desire in my heart to still finish the rounds in the morning. So the circumstances changed. As I was trying to finish the 16 rounds, I went into work and the circumstances changed somehow that I didn't have to, I was not put on the spot, that I'm not prepared or something. And in this way, Krishna protected me in that way too. So my manager is happy with me and I don't lose my job. I'm not written up. So that was my little story about how Krishna helps us finish the rounds in the morning if we really want to. Next point I'd like to discuss is the surrendering attitude. In my experience and from what I understand from the scriptures, the process of surrendering to Krishna in order to access his full mercy happens simultaneously with our chanting effort. We try to chant and be conscious of Krishna throughout the day, and we try to simultaneously surrender to him. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya on page 123 through 126, he gives us five components of surrender, or six components of surrender, and I will mention them now and then I'll elaborate on each of the six points briefly. The first component of surrender is to accept everything favorable for service to Lord Krishna. And the second component is the willingness to renounce everything unfavorable to Lord Krishna's service. The third component is to is the conviction that Lord Krishna will protect us. The fourth component is the acceptance that the Lord is our maintainer. And the fifth component is that Lord Krishna, only Lord Krishna can really fulfill our desires. We can count on different ways of fulfilling the desires, material or spiritual, but only Lord Krishna can do it. He can authorize that certain situation to happen, and we are fulfilled. And the last component of the surrendering process is the consideration that to feel that we are most fallen, humility. So these are six components. I'd like to elaborate on each of them a little bit. As these components, it's a good idea to be aware of them as we go about our day. It helps us to be conscious of Krishna as well, as much as chanting in the morning facilitates remembering Krishna later during the day. A willingness to accept everything in favor of Krishna, in favor of Krishna's service. There was one example. Obviously, devotees accept the rules and regulations, vow to chant, and 16 rounds in the morning. Aside from that, there are many other things that that may become favorable to Krishna's service. For example, when we go about our daily duties, we can we can have opportunities to distribute a book or talk to others. And we could initiate conversations with people to reach out to them. In this way, we can welcome any situation as favorable to Krishna's service by reaching out to others and distributing books if possible. For example, I had this one example. I sometimes go to a nearby lake. There's a biker's route, and you can run around and bike around the lake. So I go there sometimes to do my cardiovascular exercise, and sometimes I remember to take a book with me. Sometimes I don't, but I like to remember every time I go there. to fulfill the duties for my body, for my heart. I try to be prepared to talk to others if situation allows. So one day I was like, I got out of the car and I was tying my shoes, checking my watch, if everything is set right for my laps, running a mile or whatever I was doing for that day. And then this one gentleman who was running also, he saw that I was getting out of the car and checking my watch. So he ran up to me, he says, "Sir, you have a minute?" He says, "Yes, I do. What time is it?" I said, "Oh, you know, it's this time, you know, it's 2 o'clock or whatever." And he said, "Oh, I'm really tired." You know, he was breathing heavy. He said, "Okay, thank you very much." Something came to my mind, like immediately, like an impulse. So I said, "You know, wait a minute, sir, you have a minute now? I got to show you something." And I pulled out a book on yoga or something, some kind of small book. So I said, "Sir, would you like to read about yoga at your leisure time? This is a nice book, and you got to put it in your pocket and keep running. We can talk later. I think my business card is in the book, maybe. I'm a personal trainer." He says, "Oh, no problem, no problem. Thank you, thank you." And he took a few breaths, looked at the book, put the book in his pocket, and he ran away. He ran off. In this way, I just took advantage of the situation, and I didn't try to remember. It just came to me, like, maybe I should take this chance, and I didn't have time to think about it because he would be gone in 10 seconds, so I just asked him. So in this way, I accepted the situation where normally I was just doing my material duties and doing something for my body, but there's always a chance to preach and reach out to others if we are aware of this, of accepting situations in favor of Krishna's service. The second point of surrender, the second aspect is willingness to renounce the detrimental activities that are not very useful or they're directly inhibit our progress in Krishna consciousness. And obviously devotees reject the four sinful activities of intoxication, meat eating, and all the other ones. But aside from that, duties or activities that are normally favorable, they're maybe even in the mode of goodness, you know, maybe some yoga or exercise for the body and for the mind, something that you normally do and it's okay to do and it's good for you, for your family. But sometimes these duties may become unfavorable when you contrast them or when you face with a situation that like a direct situation that you should be engaging in Krishna's service directly, more directly, like chanting or doing some preaching activities. These duties are our primary duties, and we should always be aware of them and put them on the as our priority. So one situation like this just happened actually 24 hours ago when His Grace Subal Prabhu, he texted me if I could give a lecture. It was Friday late morning, and I was at work, and then I saw his text message, and I was like, oh my gosh. And he was what was happening in my mind on Wednesday and Thursday. I was my false ego, my mind was talking to me, "Oh, you know, no one has called me from the temple, so maybe it's good. I can sleep in on Saturday morning. On Friday night I'm going to at 6 p.m. I'm going to do a good workout, because I haven't done many workouts, maybe one or two. So that's not enough. I want to do another workout on Friday night, and then I want to sleep in on Saturday morning. Do maybe sleep in till 6 or 7, and then slowly get started on my chanting and other duties." So I was thinking like that on Wednesday and Thursday, and I was, my false ego was becoming happy, or my other ego. Nothing wrong with working out really, especially for my job, and nothing really wrong with that. Or spending more time with family, it's good. I was going to maybe spend more time with family on Friday night after my workout, before they go to sleep. But then I got this text in the morning, and my ego was like, "Oh my gosh, you know, they're asking me to be at the temple. So that means I should not work out. I have to get home and then I have to start preparing for this presentation. And that means I have to get up early in the morning on Saturday. You know, after a tough week, I like to sleep, you know. I like to get my 7-8 hours of sleep instead of like 4 or 5. So my ego was not happy. But then inside, I was remembering my spiritual master's instructions that that my Gurudev would like me to give lectures regularly, you know. And so I saw this, so I texted Subha, His Grace Subha Prabhu, you know, just give me some time. I'm at work right now. I'm at work. Let me call my wife. Let her know what's going on. Let me see how everything is and what the verse is, you know. If maybe if the verse is I don't get any ideas for the verse, maybe I can still text you back. I don't know, I cannot do it. So my ego was trying to gain more time, and maybe, you know, the ego didn't want to give up the plan that I originally had. I already had, oh, you know what, they didn't call me, so that means no lecture on Saturday. So the ego was happy. So, but I pondered, you know, the instructions that my spiritual master gave me to give lecture and then to serve the devotees in my imperfect way, and then I decided to clear, you know, with my family and give up my workout for the Friday night, and decided to respond in a positive way that I will do it. So I was a little bit tired, and you know, and then I got home and I was working on this outline till like 11 p.m. But it was, even though I was tired, my heart was happy that I would be able to serve in this way somehow, make my spiritual master happy, make the devotees happy. Maybe they will get something out of my presentation. So the point I'm trying to make is that sometimes, ordinarily, our duties are important and good, but those duties that are directly spiritual and that our spiritual master gave us directly are take precedence. They are the most important duties, and we should also have them in front of us as we go about our days and about our daily duties, and we should not put them in the background somewhere. When the situation calls for it, we should always be proud to say that, yes, this is my duty, you know, I was asked to do this by my spiritual master, and then I will do my best to service the devotees in the way that I can. So this is about accepting, rejecting things that may not be favorable, so we can do our direct service to our guru and the devotees. Number three is the conviction that Krishna is our, that Krishna will protect us, literally, physically. Some devotees might have some experiences and where Krishna directly interferes and protects them physically, and it saves them. So I have some interesting experiences like that, but I maybe share them at a different time. But the bottom line is that the material body is very fragile, and it doesn't matter how healthy or fit you are at this point, but this doesn't matter, because at any point something can happen to the body. It's such a complex machine, and no supplement or medication or security guards or your job or your family, they cannot protect you. The body can go at any time. You may or may not have health insurance, but it doesn't matter. So the situations are dangerous. Srila Prabhupada says, and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami tells us that at every step there is danger. So this third aspect of surrendering process is our faith that Krishna will protect us physically as well, so we can continue on fulfilling our duties physically and spiritually. The fourth aspect is acceptance of the Lord as our maintainer. sometimes throughout my life I would get, I'm always proud, but sometimes more and sometimes less, I'll be proud that, oh, okay, I'm self-sufficient, I got my own place, you know, I have a job, I can pay off my bills, it feels good, and I can do something, I can help people, you know, I can work out, I am strong, and I can help others to be strong, so I get a little bit of ego going on there, and I have this idea of self-sufficiency, that I am good, I can survive in this world. But in actuality, if I think that I maintain myself by going to work or earning money and paying for my own bills to pay for my shelter, provide for shelter and food, where does such strength and ability come? Obviously from Krishna. Every time you wake up in the morning, you're able to get up and sit and chant. This ability comes from Krishna as well. So he's maintaining our various energy levels in the brain and the body. He's allowing us to use these energies to go about our duties and fulfill our different obligations. In this way, he's our maintainer. It's like getting in the car, you drive, put the ignition in, and the car starts and keeps going. But if there is no driver, the car will not keep going. So Krishna keeps the soul and body together and helps us run our different businesses while we're here in this world. And we need to appreciate and Lord Krishna for giving us such abilities. The next point, the next aspect of the surrendering process is being conscious that only Krishna can fulfill our desires. We don't even know how to fulfill our desires. We may have an idea, oh, I want to do this and that, and I want to be like that, but we don't even know many times how to get there. We never know. But somehow we learn, we are guided by Krishna directly or indirectly. And if he's merciful, he can, in different ways, get us to that point where we wanted to get. I remember in my life, and many times, I was not sure where to go. Should I get this job, or should I get that job, or should I continue going to school, or should I just get a job and try to develop a career? And I was confused in the mind. My parents told me one thing, and my friends told me one thing, and devotees told me another thing. And my counselors at school would say something else. So I was confused. I didn't know which way to go. And my experience is that going back to the first point makes us, it puts us in a better position to appreciate Krishna's grace and how it works. Going back to that point about chanting in the morning, anytime I had a difficult decision to make, I wouldn't mind getting up a little bit early and making sure that I finish all my 16 rounds and pray to Krishna to guide me in making the decision, whether it would be accepting or rejecting a job opportunity, or going, you know, continuing my education or not. So my realization is that whenever I finish those rounds in the morning, I sincerely pray to Krishna to guide me. He would inspire the right decision in my heart, and I was never let down by this. So I have a lot of faith in chanting in the morning before I go to work, where we have to make so many materialistic decisions, or, you know, externally materialistic decision, fulfill so many material duties. But I have faith that by chanting in the morning, I can make those decisions better for myself and other people who come in contact with me. So only Krishna can guide us to make the right decisions, so we can point by point, we can get to the place where we want to be, materially or spiritually. And the least but not last is our humility, which is necessary considering ourselves most fallen and therefore totally dependent on Krishna. If I agree that I am fallen, then I will naturally look up to Krishna and my Guru Maharaj, and not anyone else. I will look up to them for instructions and for correcting me and guiding me in spiritual duties and sometimes even material duties. Sometimes we may be proud that, yes, I don't know much about spiritual duties, as though I have my spiritual master, but in material duties I am expert, I know. But sometimes you may have some knowledge in your field, you still have a hard decision to make. And Krishna and Guru can inspire from within to make the right decision. But we have to admit that we are fallen and weak. And then we need that inspiration and guidance of Krishna from within. And this nice thing that Srila Prabhupada mentions in this purport to verse 58 of Bhagavad Gita, that if you practice Krishna consciousness nicely, Krishna will prompt you from within and from without in the form of your guru. So that's a very nice thing. In conclusion, I would like to say that there are seemingly so many insurmountable difficulties born of our material conditioning, and we are thrown in different situations in our life. There are so many duties and so many situations that are very hard to conquer. But they can all be very easy to conquer if we consider the greatness of our best friend, Lord Krishna, and His unlimited grace. We just need to be conscious of Him by our dutiful morning chanting and our best attempt to surrender ourselves more and more every day to Him and His will and the instructions of our spiritual master. Then we can quickly be established in our blissful spiritual nature that Srila Prabhupada describes and the purport to this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam and to this verse describes. Thank you for your attention, and I apologize for my shortcomings. Any questions or comments, I will try to answer.
Thank you so much, Arjunacharya Prabhuji.
You're welcome.
I have to say that I appreciate that this was a very nice class.
Oh, and thank you.
And it's very nice because you're getting better and better.
Well, and as long as you think so.
And it's nice too because the subject matter exemplifies what you're doing, or, you know, which is very nice. You making such a nice commitment and effort to fulfill your Guru Maharaj instruction, and that's one of the points that you made to actually access Krishna's grace, to have that type of willingness to surrender in despite of, you know, whatever is there, you know, I'm not qualified, I'm not have the experience, etc., etc., you still do it. And it's nice that it gives us faith when you see a sincere devotee taking, you know, an instruction, and then you see how Krishna's grace manifests by, you know, once become very capable and actually, you know, you're able to touch others with your service. So I thank you very much for your effort, and it's very inspiring.
You're welcome. Thank you, Prabhu, for your positive feedback. But thank you.
Too long. Hare Krishna, bro. Thank you very much for your class. You made a lot of nice points. I have a comment and a question. Two points. One thing I try to keep in mind, and then I'll ask you a question regarding your preparing for your client at 4 a.m. Regarding that. You were mentioning the six forms of surrender components, and the first two you mentioned, Prabhupada was mentioning accepting things favorable and rejecting things unfavorable. One thing I try to keep in mind for my own peace of mind and Krishna consciousness is that a lot of times it's described we should accept favorable association and reject unfavorable association. But one thing to keep in mind is that although it may be easy to physically separate ourselves from bad association or what we perceive to be bad association, but we could see that it's not so easy to separate, to accept favorable thoughts and reject unfavorable thoughts. Just right. Like we see in the past on Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was physically separated from Vishnu and the Vaishnavas. But as soon as Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, what is the best thing you've learned in this world? He says, the best thing I've learned in this world is about Vishnu and the Vaishnavas. And then he became so infuriated. So we see that although he was physically separated from Vishnu and the Vaishnavas, he wasn't mentally separated from Vishnu and the Vaishnavas. So we see that in the material world and even among our associations that as soon as we hear the name of the person we don't like, it's just the same as if they were in our physical presence. So what is the use of physically separating yourself from somebody if you're not mentally separated? And so for me, I really realized that the lesson to be learned from these teachings that in order to reject unfavorable association is to accept them favorably by loving them. There's a quote that says, if you love your enemies, then you won't have any. And we see that's what Prahlad did. When Prahlad heard the name of Hiranyakashipu, he never said, don't mention that name, he makes me sick to my stomach. He loved them. And so that's why I love that quote, if you love your enemies, then you won't have any. And so, and that's one point I keep in mind, but my question is regarding surrender. And you were mentioning, you was mentioning Subal sometimes calls you at the, kind of almost at the last minute, you don't have completely, you kind of have to prepare for class. Well, one thing I appreciate about a lot of devotees, there's been many devotees who's given less time than you, or no time at all. Like, they're asked to give that same morning, and they have to give from the spur of the moment. So my question is regarding your workout. When you had no time to prepare for your 4 a.m. client, it's not like you said, I didn't prepare fully, I'm not going to go. If you don't go, you'll lose your job. So sometimes, maybe you could elaborate on this. Sometimes we take Krishna for granted, like if you don't surrender to your job and your client, even if you're not prepared, you'll lose your job. And so sometimes I feel like sometimes we miss out on an opportunity that somebody may give us an opportunity and we may reject it. Like, can you give class in half hour? I don't have time prepared. No, thank you. So we miss the opportunity to develop faith in Krishna that maybe he'll inspire me, or maybe just like if you're an emergency room doctor, you come in the emergency room, the emergency room doctor is not going to say, I need my notes, I don't have time to prepare. Yeah. So what are some steps? We see that if we're not prepared, if our boss calls us and we're not prepared, we still have to go to work. So how much more significant is it to develop the faith, you know, when given the opportunity when we're not prepared? Because the tendency is that we take Krishna for granted. Oh, Krishna's more forgiving, you know, if I'm not prepared, you know, it seems like we might miss on the opportunity to develop faith in Krishna, that he'll inspire me, and et cetera. So what are some steps we can move forward to surrender more when we're not so prepared? Because we surrender to our, in the material world, we have to surrender to our, you know, our clients, or otherwise we'll lose our job. But sometimes we take for granted for Krishna, and we miss out on opportunities, I feel, when we're not prepared. So what do you think about that? Not missing out on opportunities when we're not as prepared, or how we develop that faith, you know, maybe, You know, maybe I develop more humility if I'm not prepared. So I don't know. I don't Kevin formulate the questions, but maybe you could extract some points from that, if possible.
Thank you, Prabhu. You made some very good, profound points. And I think that, for example, in this situation that I described about, you know, giving a lecture on short notice. See, I see it like, obviously, as a benefit to myself, so I get purified. And I think the devotees here, they know all the verses, they know the scriptures. They may not need me as much, you know. I need this for myself. But then in some situations, you actually have to give a good quality class to attract people's attention and make them devotees. So in that case, a devotee should prepare, or you should assign someone who is really good at it, who's been doing it for years. So that, you know, let's say someone calls me, okay, why don't you go to this, you know, maybe give a Sunday if he's lecturer, maybe you go to this college and speak. Since I don't want to, let people down, and, you know, that my class was ineffective or not very impressive, and I would not take that opportunity. But if it's like among devotees, and I see that they may not get so much benefit from me lecturing, and if I make some mistakes, they don't get offended, or, you know, then it's not a big deal because it's for my purification. But if the situation is different and there's someone who may potentially become a devotee, who may be, it's for them, it's either like hear the right lecture or never come back to the temple again. In that case, if I knew that situation, I would probably ask, please look for someone else, I'm not qualified. So that's how I see it. I think the devotees here may not need me so much to talk about these points. They already know it. But I think for my own purification and practice, it's your grace that I can speak and at the same time make my spiritual master happy. But so there's a difference in what kind of preaching or spiritual opportunity comes to us. I think there's a difference in situations.
Thank you. I agree with that point completely. I just wanted to mention, while I appreciated some pastimes of Prabhupada regarding this, I'll just briefly mention it regarding this. And I'm sure you could appreciate them too, regarding surrender. They're very nice pastimes, but there's a few I think of about narrowed down to one. When the Brahmanas tried to distribute Krishna consciousness, when Bhaktisiddhanta sent the Brahmana, his devotees out, or other Brahmanas, when they tried to preach to the West, they weren't as successful. But when Prabhupada gave an assignment to his disciples, go to China, okay, go to London, go to this, Prabhupada, I'm not prepared. But he gave them their shakti, in that way it developed faith in them. Oh, you know, even though I'm not prepared, you know, I'm doing my best to please my guru and my spiritual masters, so that they got the opportunity to develop that faith that actually I'm not in control. If I was prepared, just like some of the Indians, they were prepared their whole life, following the four regular principles instead of Prabhupada's disciples. They practically broke all the four regular principles. They were completely unprepared. They didn't know anything about the Vedas, too much about it, only with Prabhupada little, and they were more successful. So there's a story in the Bible where Moses says God wanted to send Moses to free the Israelites. And you know what Moses says? He says the same thing. I'm not prepared. I stutter. I'm not very eloquent. God, please send someone else. And God essentially said, so Moses was saying, in order for you to be successful, God, you should get somebody more qualified. But God said, I can make somebody eloquent unsuccessful, and I can make somebody not so eloquent successful. So go, you go. And in that way, you know, he developed his faith in the Lord. And so anyway, these are some points I mentioned, but I also agree with your point too. Sometimes, of course, you want to be prepared, but these are some points I appreciate of Prabhupada, how his disciples surrendered. Yes. And they weren't completely prepared, and they were so successful, whereas other people are prepared, but they're not as successful. So we're not in control. Right. Krishna's, and it gives you opportunities, develops some enthusiasm, some faith that actually I'm not in control. My preparation's not in control, but Krishna's in control.
that's the point. You know, we have to be surrendered completely, but that's the difficulty. You know, how completely surrendered we are. You know, we don't even know ourselves. Well, we know. You know, I know that I'm not surrendered completely, but it's hard to answer that question because it depends on your level of surrender. How much do you let Krishna be in control of your of everything? You know, I mean, how much should you be using your brain and like prepare, and how much you should just act more from the heart? You know, it's a topic for another discussion. But definitely, you got some great points about the how to be completely surrendered and you know, accept that mercy from your guru, like the disciples, the pioneers of our Krishna consciousness movement. How they accepted and they were completely successful. It wasn't easy, but they were successful because they believed in Prabhupada. He had so much potency. He was very practical. Srila Prabhupada was very, very practical, and he was very, I mean, his power was, his grace was great, and it's amazing. And then he was also very practical. He could guide his disciples in every little thing, and they had faith in him. He was not just like a spiritualist who is great in what he says and his own practice, but he was able to give a practical program, practical directions to and all aspects of life. And this is what appeals to many people who come to Krishna consciousness. They see how practical this process is, and they have faith because of that. They gain faith. Hare Krishna. Any more questions? Anything? Vanchakara Patarugas Chakra Pasindavasavacha Pajinam Pavanevi Vaishnavi Namo Namo.